Hymn 200. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice. Hymn 200. Before we ask Brother Matthew to exhort us this morning, we will sing hymn 161. O blessed are the eyes that see the living way, to grasp the glorious prize of everlasting day. Hymn 161.
Thank you.
So it's my pleasure now to invite Brother Matthew to give us the word of exhortation.
My brothers and sisters, we read in that first verse of Mark chapter 1, and I'm reading from the NIV, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. This new beginning of the gospel, as described by Mark, was revolutionary when he wrote this book. This word beginning carries a sense of importance and is shown by Mark's immediate reference to the ideas of Jesus promised in the prophets, referring to passages in Malachi and Isaiah. Every thought in this chapter bends to prove this point. Although we are used to the concept of Jesus as God's Son, it is the most important element of the gospel message. This morning, I'd like to delve into some of the new beginnings we're given in the Bible and how blessed we are to know about the good news, the gospel, about Jesus the Messiah and the plan of salvation God has provided. The whole earth was once given a fresh beginning. This was during the time of Noah, where the earth was flooded to rid it from the many wicked people living there. The whole earth had become so wicked that God was willing to destroy it, save only Noah and his family and all the animals. God made a promise never to eliminate the world again in this way, and the rainbow in the sky is a reminder to us of this. Rather than destroy those who do evil, God has given us something better, and that is baptism. Baptism for us is a new way of life, our own promise to God, and a commitment that we must keep. It is a fresh beginning. We are now part of a larger family. We all have the same beliefs, and we all share a common goal. We all know that verse from Mark 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It seems to have quite a simple meaning, that if we believe and get baptized, then it doesn't matter what else we do because we're already saved. But that's not true at all. Jesus was giving his disciples the command to go out and preach the gospel. Whoever was willing to receive the word and believe it would be part of God's family and have the opportunity of everlasting life if they were baptized. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Our baptisms are a clean slate in that it washed away all our past sins. It's the start of a new life, but not the end. Once we had been baptized, our spiritual life in the truth began. From when we were baptized, we started a new journey as brothers and sisters of Christ. Baptism, a symbol of the washing away of our sins, allowed us to be part of God's family. We have Jesus as our brother, who led a life in obedience to our Father. Following in Jesus' footsteps and doing what he commanded us to do will bring us closer to God and the reward that is being offered. Being in this family is a good responsibility, and the work in which we do gives us a stronger hope of eternal life. Although our sins were forgiven by God at the time of our baptism, further forgiveness is dependent upon our own efforts to obey the word of God. We all must be willing to put in the effort. Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Achieving white robes after washing them in blood is, humanly speaking, a paradox. It would not happen. But God's ways are not our ways. He counts Jesus' sacrifice to us for righteousness. So even though we are not righteous in ourselves, we are made righteous, justified by our faith in him. All the faithful people, the great multitude in white robes, are the ones who never gave up when they went through the great tribulation. Each of us will face our own tribulations. The blood of the Lamb, as we know, relates to the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. There are many passages in the Bible relating to this type, particularly in Hebrews chapter 9, where it talks in detail about the meaning of Christ's shed blood and its relation to the law of Moses. In verse 22 of that chapter, we read, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." We all sin. The Bible tells us quite plainly that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when we sin, it can be hard to own up to it, to admit that we have done wrong. Human nature dictates that we try to cover up our sin, make excuses, or even hide from it, and convince ourselves that it is all right or that we haven't done anything wrong. The sin offering cuts through all those feelings of denial. It puts the responsibility right back onto us as the offering is carried out. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And so the sinner had to provide a live goat or lamb in perfect condition for the sin offering. They then had to lay his hand on the head of the animal. This was to acknowledge that the animal and they were united. The lamb represented the sinner. Then the lamb was to be slaughtered, taking the fate that we deserve. It was a perfect animal and did not deserve to die, but it bore the sin of the one who offered it, and its life was taken. The sin offering, then, emphasized the fact that we do sin, that we must face up to and acknowledge our sin, and that we deserve to die. But thanks be to God, who has given the Lord Jesus Christ to be the perfect offering for sin, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. It is such a blessing that we can have our sins forgiven, because without it, our lives would be pointless after our baptism. Why live any longer in a world you are sure to sin but cannot have them forgiven? We would have no hope, condemned to mortal life as a sinner. But through the grace and mercy of God, through Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. But white robes are hard to keep clean. They show up every speck of dirt. They look fantastic, but any shade of grey is instantly noticeable. Let's do all we can to keep our white robes free from the stain of sin. And if we get dirty again, let's ask for forgiveness and have them washed white again. Speaking to the people of Jerusalem and Judah, we read in Isaiah chapter 1 from verse 16. "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. The Lord, in his grace, is willing to give favor and forgiveness if his people will realize their failures. But, tragically, sin robs humans of reason, making them unreasonable fools. In verse 18, we see perhaps a prophecy for the nation of spiritual Israel. Having been forgiven for their past failures and their sins made white as snow. We can relate this to the white robes given to those made righteous, such as in Revelation chapter 22, reading from verse 12. Look, I am coming soon, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Whilst humans might think that they can behave with freedom in their life, God will finally judge righteously. God will repay each person according to what they have done. He will give man his true reward. Eventually, all of us are going to have to answer for our actions. We each reap the rewards of our own actions. We need, therefore, to beware. It is well known that God gives people their desire on occasions to teach them that it was an evil desire. We need to live our life within the framework of God's blessings, and then we may have the right to the tree of life for eternity. And so, apart from new beginnings, we are also looking to an end too, the Omega, the end of this age of confusion and terror from the perspective of humans. That time we are looking to is the return of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He will keep you firm to the end. This is an awesome promise that God has given to us as well as to the Corinthians. It begins on the day we give our lives to God, to our God, and commit to serving him for the rest of our lives, and lasts to the end. From that time on, God is keeping us strong so that we will be blameless. He wants us all to be saved, and is not willing that any should perish. That is why he gives us strength. God gives us trials, and he allows us to be tempted to see how we will react. But with every trial, he provides a way to escape, and he gives us the strength, his strength, to overcome if we choose to use it. We need to allow him to work in our lives, to give us the strength, because we certainly can't do it by ourselves, and to keep us blameless for the day of Christ. And once God gives us the strength, he will not stop until the end, until the day of Christ. Have you noticed the changes in your life since you gave yourself to Christ? Since that day, we have been blessed with a power at work in our lives that we never had before. Think about what Paul told the Corinthians. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is so keen for us to live full, blameless, and powerfully effective lives in Christ that he supplies all we need to do it. He gives us grace, the grace to give us the hope of eternity even when we don't deserve it, the grace shown in forgiveness, and grace to help in times of need. He has enriched our lives in giving us help when we speak to others of the hope we have, and enriching our knowledge so that we can effectively preach his word. There are no spiritual gifts we lack for the tasks he has planned for us to do, and he will give us strength, all the strength we need to do what is right and avoid what is wrong. So let us not rely on our own weak selves, but instead live our lives relying on the power and grace of God. Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Here is a very important thought from the writer to the Hebrews. He said, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." There is both a personal and a collective responsibility in this comment. When he says, "See to it," it is like when we see to doing an important task. It is something that must be done. As we see to it, we must see that our own personal hearts and lives do not turn away from God. And also, collectively, we have a responsibility to keep each other on the right track. None of you, the writer to the Hebrews says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. We need to help each other. Occasionally, someone does get caught in sin, or their faith wavers. We who are strong need to help them overcome and turn back to God. Sin can so easily take us away. At those times, we forget how free forgiveness is. We feel that we cannot come back and that we cannot face our God or our brothers and sisters again because we have fallen so short. Let's not buy into that lie. Our God is a living God. He is the God with a heart, with love and with feelings. He wants us as part of his family, loved and cared for by him. So, the antidote to having anyone become sinful, unbelieving, or turning away is found in the next few words. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So let us take this advice, making sure we live as righteous and obedient children of God, doing all we can to encourage one another, and determined to hold fast to our faith for as long as it takes until Jesus returns. There is a reason for for all of this because of the glorious future God has described in his word. A future when we can become immortal saints, reigning with Christ in the kingdom. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." This is the end that we looked to most earnestly. But it is also the new start we all want for the whole world. A world without sin and death. The old order of things, sin nature, will be gone away. Completely blotted out and destroyed. And God will dwell with us. All glory and honor of his name will be known to all humankind. Our aim is to be in that new world, having been granted a new start. So let's do the best we can to get there.
Hymn 259. Thy death and resurrection, we show this day. 'Tis a tribute of affection we all should pay. Wine outpoured, bread now broken, of thy sacrifice the token. Even so, as thou hast spoken, we will obey. Hymn 259. Hymn 93. See the man of sorrows now, to the earth returned victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him, crowns become the victor's brow. Hymn 93.
Look, yeah. love.